You're listening to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. It's the best kind of gossip on demand every week. Girl talk, no filter. Here's your sis, Alessandra G.
Welcome back to That's the Tea with Alessandra G, and thanks for tuning in to another segment of Friday Features. This podcast is kindly sponsored by DistroKid. If you're an artist or work on music in any capacity, DistroKid is the music distribution service you need to sign up for right now. It'll get your music on streaming platforms like Spotify, Tidal, and Apple Music. And then you receive all of the money from streaming that you earn when people listen to your music. That's right, DistroKid does not take a cut, ever. Plus, you can even add lyrics to your songs, and DistroKid will send them everywhere to platforms, even Instagram. Yes, karaoke-style lyrics on Instagram are the best. There are tons of more perks, including help with marketing that DistroKid has to offer. Use my code distrokid.com/VIP/alwaysalessandra for 7% off your first year's membership. Now, today we have a very special guest joining us, Olivia Lunny. We're chatting about her recently released self-titled debut album, so many bops on there, dream collaborations, and how the pandemic has affected her music so far. This is an exclusive segment of Friday Features.
Welcome to Friday Features. Get to know your favorite artists, influencers, and musicians exclusively on That's the Tea with Alessandra G.
Hi, Olivia. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on That's the Tea with Alessandra G and talking all about everything that you have going on with your music right now. There's a ton, but what have you been up to recently?
So my album came out about a month ago, and I actually just came back from LA. I'm working on my next kind of batch of songs. So it's been a quick turnaround, but so amazing to finally have it out and into the world.
Yeah, for sure. You already jumped into my question, which was, you know, let's talk about that self-titled debut album. So, like you said, came out maybe a little under a month ago, kind of crazy, very recent. How long was that project in the works? And like you said, you're sharing it with the world. How does it feel to have it out there now?
Yeah, so I think this project was in the works for about a year before it kind of fully came together and came out. And it's a very kind of cathartic feeling to release it and share all these really personal songs with everyone, because I've been listening to them for so long, but it's everyone else's kind of first time hearing them. So it's a really exciting thing for me.
For sure. And I know people are loving them, and they loved all of the singles and tracks that you released prior to the album coming out. But one song that definitely stood out was Sad to See You Happy. It's on the album, millions of streams, completely blew up. You know, how does it feel to go on that music video and see so many people are listening to it and watching the video and connecting to it, and the comments are all so positive? Does it ever feel like surreal? And did you ever expect that one to take off the way that it did?
Yeah, I mean, it's such an amazing feeling, and it's always so hard to know which song people are going to resonate with. But I think people are really enjoying that one because it's such a simple, universal concept of being literally just sad to see someone happy. And I think because it's so relatable, people are liking it. But that obviously makes me so happy to see, because it's definitely something I've gone through before. So to know that other people can relate is a really wonderful thing.
Well, that's awesome to hear. And it's one of my favorite. I think, like you said, it's really relatable. And, you know, the music video is also pretty cool too. So that always helps, like an amazing music video, a great song, and people are digging both of them. But that was just kind of the sneak peek to the album, you know, the debut album as a whole. So which song on the album, looking back on that whole process, because I know you said it was like a year in the making, what do you think was like the hardest song to record or master at the end of the day when you think about, you know, all the tracks that made it onto the album and kind of the process itself?
Yeah. Oh, that's such a hard question. Obviously, there's so much work that went into each track. But I think for me, not to pick favorites, but one of my favorite songs that I worked on that album was called The Walls. And we went through a lot of different versions of that song. It's a really personal, kind of vulnerable track. So it took a lot of different variations to get it exactly how I wanted it to sound. But it ended up turning out so well. So I'm really happy about that. But yeah, I mean, so many amazing collaborators worked on each track. So we, yeah, shout out to everyone. Thank you for working so hard.
Yeah, shout out to those people. It's a great song. And, you know, you kind of had a great mix of like slower songs or more like beat vibes and stuff like that going on the album. So I think it was a great variation. Should people look forward to maybe some tracks that didn't fit the vibe on this album, but maybe, you know, on a future project?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there's probably about 3 or 4 songs that didn't make the cut for this album, but it's always so hard to say. Again, I'm already working on new music, so hopefully those other songs will make it into the mix. But yeah, I'm curious myself to see what's next music-wise, because I'm kind of just in creation mode now, seeing what comes out and what I have to say writing-wise.
Definitely. And I know that this pandemic and everything that's been going on with the world has kind of taken a toll on the way people write and the things that people are writing about. You said that this album was kind of in the works for a year before you released it. So that was kind of right smack in the middle of the pandemic. How did the pandemic and everything that was going on kind of affect the process of creating this album?
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess we're all apart, so that made it kind of inconvenient for everyone. But through Zoom and stuff like that, I got to connect with people and write online, which was really amazing, but definitely not the same as being in person in a session and getting to hang out with people and having a whole vibe in the environment. But I think overall the pandemic just really forced me to be introspective, and that reflected in my writing and in songs like Modern Love and The Walls. You can kind of see that just being alone with my thoughts and having a lot to say about it. So it was, I think, a blessing in disguise. It was the break we all didn't know we needed.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, a lot of people are like, oh my God, it was the shittiest year of my life and so much bad stuff happened. And like, yeah, that's kind of true. But at the end of the day, we all kind of had a break from life itself and kind of like put things into perspective for all of us. So I think it's great to see, like, you know, the optimistic side of things. But again, it wasn't not taken away from the fact that it was shitty, because we missed out on a lot.
I know. It's a blessing and a curse, double-edged sword.
Exactly. And so one of those things is obviously like concerts and performances. And I know as an artist that must have sucked for you to not be able to perform and go out and meet people and just do normal things. With performances and tours and kind of festivals like Lollapalooza and stuff kind of popping back up and people are starting to do things, are you like getting anxious to get back on the road and, you know, even do like a few pop-up performances, or do you have any plans for that?
100%. Yeah. So things are slowly opening back up in Canada, which is very exciting. I'm very optimistic about that. And I'm actually starting to rehearse with my band and starting to put together a live set. So hoping this fall there'll be some shows, and I just can't wait to play this live.
I know. And I think that it's so tough for people to release albums, especially during, you know, what we had going on. And then it's like, well, I guess I'm sitting on this album for, you know, however long until we can perform it. But it's great, at least now that you can do rehearsals and people aren't like as cooped up in their houses as they were even 6 months ago. Exactly. So that's really fun. I know with this album, and I always like to say this with debut albums, but when an artist puts their first baby or project out there, they share it and people are loving it, and it kind of just gives listeners a really good sense of, you know, who an artist is, what their sound is, and, you know, where their career may go from there. So I love when artists focus on themselves for a first album, and that's exactly what you did. You know, if a first album has half of the songs as features, it kind of gets muddled up and, you know, you're like, okay, who is this artist? You know, they're doing a bunch of different things. They're collaborating with a bunch of different artists. It's kind of difficult. You didn't have any features on this album, which I love when it comes to debut albums. Was that kind of your strategy there, or what made you decide to focus on just you?
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you for noticing. I think you said it very well. That was really my focus kind of going into this album. I wanted it to really just showcase me as a person, as a writer, and as a new kind of up-and-coming artist. And with that, I also wanted to balance out the sounds and showcase the different parts of my artistry. So we have some ballads on there, and there's some more upbeat pop songs that are higher tempo. So just having all those included, kind of wrapped up in a package, felt kind of necessary. And yeah, it kind of shows the different flavors to who Olivia Lenny is musically.
For sure. I totally agree with everything that you're saying. And now that everyone's kind of been able to digest this album and really learn more about you and see who you are as an artist, I think the wheels all start turning for listeners as to like, okay, she would sound really good doing a track with so-and-so, or, oh my God, if this song had a feature of, you know, this artist, that would be dope. So going forward, do you kind of have that dream collaboration cliche list that, you know, a lot of artists have, or are you just like, it would be amazing to work with, you know, a bunch of different people. Here are some examples. Like, what is your take on these dream collaborations or who you may want to work with in the future?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm super open to working with any artist of any genre. I think that's a beautiful thing about music. You can have fun with it, and you never know. Sometimes when you get two people from kind of opposite genres, when you collaborate, you can make some magic happen. So open to collaborating with anyone and everyone. My dream collaborator, I would have to say, is Ed Sheeran, just because I grew up listening to him, and he's just such an incredible songwriter. But yeah, hopefully by the fall, maybe we'll have a collaboration going. Not with Ed Sheeran, but I mean.
I get you. Okay, you never know, though. You know, you never know. You know, you may want to work with Maisie Peters. We just had her on the show. Yeah, she's amazing. And so she signed to Ed's record label. And I think he's just gotten it kind of up and running at this point. So you never know. Maybe he's on the hunt for some more artists. You guys may have to connect there.
100%. That'd be the dream.
Well, I do want to talk about Dominoes, which is another standout track on your album. So great song, again, very relatable, and an amazing video, super unique. Like, I've seen videos that kind of have that cartoon-like vibe, but this was like a whole different feel. I don't know. It was kind of like two-dimensional at some points and then 3D. I just thought it was really creative. Thanks. So I was wondering, kind of, what was the inspiration behind that song? I know it's kind of clear, but it's always nice to hear a little bit about the backstory. And then how did that music video come about? Was that kind of your idea to not be in it, like physically in it, but still have, you know, your character in it? Or how did that come about?
So I guess first and foremost, Dominoes is a love song. It's a really happy song. And I think some of the tracks on this album, they are heavy and they're about kind of heartache and all those kind of painful emotions. So I really wanted to balance it out with some kind of happier, more upbeat tracks. And for the video, for Sad to See You Happy, we had done the music video. For Who Could Say No, the second single, we did a lyric video. So for Dominoes, we wanted something unique. And I think this was a perfect hybrid of still including me in the video in animation form, which was super fun and crazy to see. But still, yeah, having fans kind of be able to see it and see this little world of Dominoes we created.
It was so fun and creative. So congratulations on that video and track. Can fans expect to see any more music videos from the album, or is that kind of it when it comes to like visuals for now?
So in terms of music videos, I think just the Sad to Happy one we're sticking with, but I recorded some live performance videos that should be coming out in the next few months. So I'm super excited to share those renditions of the songs.
That is so cool. So we have to stick around and see when those come out. And looking forward to the rest of, you know, this year. I know you said hopefully by the fall, get some performances, maybe some pop-up shows. We got to keep our eyes out. But what are your goals for the rest of this year? I know you're working on already another album, which is crazy and so good for you because, you know, your fans love the music, and obviously every fan wants to hear more music. So to keep making music and kind of do a quick turnaround is pretty impressive. But when it comes to the rest of this year, what are you focused on? What are the goals? And yeah, kind of where do you want to take the rest of 2021?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a hard question to answer. I'm kind of just open to wherever the universe is going to take me at this point. Obviously, would love to play some shows and just kind of going back into creation mode, just making music and collaborating with lots of different people, producers and writers. I'm just really excited to see what comes of the next few months.
For sure. Well, that's a great way to look at things. And now my last question for you, I know we have to talk about your listeners and so many people that are streaming your music and loving the album. What would you say is the best way to connect with you? Like, a lot of people are commenting on your YouTube videos, wow, this is so relatable, or this reminds me of this scenario. And they're getting pretty open and, you know, for a lot of people to go back and forth and kind of talk on your comment section on YouTube or Instagram. But where do you connect with your fans and what's the best shot for them to get in touch with you?
So I would say Instagram and TikTok primarily. I'm just on those platforms the most, and I love kind of going back and forth and kind of keeping conversations open. But yeah, in general, I try to keep up with everything. But TikTok, I think as of lately, I've been really active on that platform.
Yeah, TikTok is the move, guys. TikTok is so addictive. And
it's fun too.
I know, and they get so creative. I always say on there with like people's music and songs, and you know, sometimes we don't even know who an artist is and they just like have a great song that's kind of flying under the radar, and then someone comes up with a trend, a dance or whatever it may be, and then you know, the song hits the charts. So it's a pretty crazy platform and it's creating a lot of opportunities for a ton of people. So I'm loving that aspect of it, and also it's saving us all from boredom, like boarding, when you're boarding a flight. Jump on TikTok.
Yeah, it's dangerous how much I'm on TikTok, but it's a great platform.
Yeah, I know. I'm scared of it. I don't know. They know what I'm listening to. They know what I'm thinking. It's kind of creeping me out, but you know what? This podcast isn't sponsored by TikTok. Come on, help us out. But that's all I have for today. I really want to thank you for coming on That's the Tea with Alessandra G and chatting all about your debut album. I know your fans are going to be so excited to hear that there's a possibility for performances, and obviously those live performances on YouTube, that's a huge deal. And those are so much fun, especially in the situation that we're in right now. So thank you again for coming on. Congratulations on your project. And I can't wait to see what's next for you, especially this year. There's so many possibilities right now.
Thank you so much. And thank you for chatting. This is so fun.
Thank you so much for tuning in to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. Huge thank you and shout out, as always, to our guest, Olivia Lunny. Be sure to listen to her debut album and hit single, Sad to See You Happy. It is so good, guys. Follow her on social media to keep up with everything she has going on, potential performances, new music, everything, and more. That's all we have for today, folks. Remember, stay safe out there, friends, and wash your damn hands. Found a game worth playing. Something about my look is changing. Diamonds, watch them go one by one, falling slow. They all did what they do. Let me.